This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the healthcare and health news channels. We're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Joseph Shega, MD, Senior Vice President and National Medical Director for Vitas Healthcare, the nation's leading provider of end-of-life care. Dr. Shega, a pleasure to have you with us today on the show.
Good day. Thank you for allowing me to participate.
You're more than welcome. It's certainly our pleasure as well, and thanks for your time. Now, for starters, hospice is a scary concept. Why shouldn't people put it off for as long as possible?
Hospice is a very scary concept. You know, patients and families, have misconceptions about what end of life means and what end of life is. And the truth is if we don't address it and if we don't talk about it, people end up receiving care that they would never want. And that's evidenced by the fact that many people still die in the hospital and in the intensive care unit. But when you ask people where they want to be at the end of life, 85 to 90% of people say at home. So if we don't talk about hospice, then we don't allow people to make sure they receive the care that they want, and their wishes end up not being honored, which is being able to die at home. And the best way to die at home, evidence suggests time and time again, is hospice enrollment.
How does someone know when it is time for hospice, and who makes that decision?
Yeah, sure. So to get into hospice, patients need to have a quote-unquote prognosis of 6 months or less if the illness runs its usual course. And so it's very difficult to say whether or not somebody's going to live that long. So what we always tell patients and families is, you know, to get into hospice, this is what Medicare requires, but people may live longer, people may live shorter. And how do we know is an inexact science. But that's the general threshold that people use. And so if your healthcare provider or if a family notices that they're concerned that their loved one isn't responding to curative treatment anymore, and that usually means more time in and out of the hospital or going to the emergency room or not improving with skilled rehab services, then often that may indicate somebody might be ready for hospice. So in general, it's not responding to curative treatments anymore, them not being as effective as evidenced by being in and out of the hospital, the emergency room, or not improving with restorative therapy like rehab. So who makes that decision? Often it's a decision that's made together with your physician or healthcare provider like nurse practitioner and the patient and or family member. And that decision's made through a conversation. Sometimes healthcare providers may be resistant to the hospice conversation, and family members or patients can self-refer to a hospice to access those services.
If you would, Dr. Shega, get into what does the hospice admission process involve?
Yeah, so often people are afraid of hospice because it's something new and they don't know what it looks and feels like. And so the initial process is after a referral is made to the hospice program, a call is made by the hospice to the patient to set up a nurse visit. And that nurse comes out to the home to do an assessment to go over what kind of changes have happened over the past 3 to 6 months that indicate that they might be appropriate for a hospice program. As part of that admission process, we talk about what's important to the patient and the family for care going forward and how can we best meet their care needs through the hospice program. Generally, that means keeping somebody at home, ensuring that they have good pain and symptom management, and that the care that we provide is consistent with the values and goals that the patient and family have set forth for their care plan. As part of that admission, we go over medications and other treatment options, such as music, massage, and pet therapy that complement the traditional care model to best improve somebody's quality of life.
Today, we are speaking with Dr. Joseph Shega, MD, Senior Vice President and National Medical Director for Vitas Healthcare, the nation's leading provider of end-of-life care here on eHealth Radio's healthcare and health news channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, Dr. Shega, if you would, describe the four levels of hospice care in layman's terms, if you would.
Sure. To be a Medicare certified hospice, all hospices must provide what we call four levels of care. And those four levels of care were designed to help keep people at home. Recognizing that sometimes people can't be at home, there is actually a level of care for inpatient hospice. The majority of hospices provided on what we call the routine level of care. And what's great about the routine level of care is you have a whole team of healthcare professionals, physician, nurse, social worker, chaplain, home health aide, all dedicated to you as the patient to optimize your quality of life. Generally, the care team comes in 4 to 7 times a week, depending on care needs, to address whatever symptoms or other issues are happening to monitor your health, your symptoms, and your overall quality of life. Sometimes that routine level of care isn't enough to optimally manage symptoms, and then the level of care needs to be changed to what we call continuous care. Continuous care is when the nurse and the nurse's aide are in the home up to 24 hours a day to actively manage a symptom. So, for example, somebody develops worsening pain or worsening shortness of breath. Maybe the heart failure is getting worse or the COPD is getting worse, and you need that nurse and aide in there 24 hours a day to optimally manage a symptom. What I call that is bringing the hospital to home. So in somebody's home, we can provide almost the same type of care we provide in the hospital in your home setting. So that's the continuous level of care. As with the hospital, that care can only be provided when there is a need, and we have to document that need. Sometimes people are so sick at home that we can't care for them and they need to be in an inpatient setting, or they want to be in an inpatient setting. So hospice also has an inpatient level of care. Instead of being in the acute care hospital, you're actually in the hospice's hospital. Again, that's 24-hour care with a nurse at the bedside in the inpatient hospice to provide that level of care. Often people need acute management of symptoms. Maybe they're receiving IV antibiotics, IV fluids, depending on what the care goals are, but they prefer to be in that inpatient level of care. The fourth level of care is what we call respite care. And when the hospice benefit went into law, one of the key provisions was the availability of respite, because the hospice benefit is for patients to be in their location of choice at home, with care generally being provided by their loved one. And sometimes loved ones need a break or need to go do something else, such as attend a family event, such as a wedding, and they need someone to help take care of their loved one. The respite benefit does that. So the hospice will make sure the loved one is in a safe place, provide 24-hour care so that the family member can either get a break, maybe address their own medical needs, or attend a special event that they may want to attend. So those are the four levels of care that a hospice provides: routine, continuous care, and inpatient care if patients get sicker. And then if the caregiver needs a break, there is that respite level of care.
Also, what is the role of the physician in hospice care?
Yeah, that's a great question. So often, patients are afraid of losing their healthcare team that they've known for their whole life. And one of the great things about the hospice benefit is the patient's primary care physician can still be involved, and we encourage them to be involved. Right? So they can still see their primary care provider if they can make it to clinic. The hospice team continually communicates with the primary care provider so they understand what's happening to their patient that they've been caring for years. At the same time, on the hospice side, all hospices must have physicians that are actively involved in the patient's care. We often try to get our hospice physicians to visit patients at home, to do those assessments and to communicate with the primary care provider so that everybody's on the same page and that the care plan is consistent with what the goals are. So from a hospice perspective, there's really two types of physicians. It's the primary care physician who's always been involved, might also be a specialist like an oncologist or a heart failure doctor or a pulmonary doctor that we encourage to stay involved with the care and the patient can still see that provider. And then in addition, there's the hospice physician that helps oversee the care and the hospice plan of care that sometimes will also go out to the home to make visits if needed for patient symptoms or other medical necessities.
If you would, paint us a picture. What can someone expect once they become a hospice patient?
So when people access the hospice benefit, they have to really think about care in a different way. And it's a great type of care that's been shown to improve quality of life and symptom management. And how that happens is through the team, right? And that team helps you on your new journey to make sure that your care goals are and wishes are honored. That includes the physician, the social worker, the nurse, the chaplain, and the aide coming into the house to support you where you want to be, working with your loved one and family to provide the care that you want. Medications will be delivered to the home. The nurse will educate on how to use the medications. Again, you can access alternative therapies such as music therapy, massage therapy, pet paw pals or pet therapy, all in the comfort of your home. The great thing about hospice is we bring all of those services to your home where you want to be. So that's what people can expect when they sign up for hospice. They can expect a care team who has their back, whose only objective is to make sure that their care goals, that their wishes are honored as they approach end of life.
Dr. Shagan, most informative on covering hospice and hospice care. We really appreciate it. One of those topics that we kind of put on the back burner, obviously, but really good to know how to address that when the situation does arise, if it hits home or close to home. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, advice, or one last final tip for the listeners today in all regards?
Yeah, I think for all of us, it's hard to recognize when we're not responding to curative treatment. But even with best medical management, we are all going to pass away. And we just have to decide, how do we want that time to be spent? And for most people, it's at home with their loved ones, enjoying whatever time they have left, and not in a hospital, in an ICU, or in a nursing home. And the best way to accomplish that is hospice.
Man, I couldn't agree more with you, and it really has been good to have had you. Where can listeners get more information on VITAS Healthcare?
Yeah, sure. We are online at VITAS.com, and then you can pull up our services for hospice and palliative care and get all of the information that you need. You can also submit referrals online through the website. We also have an app, so if you go into the App Store, either Apple or Android, and put in VITAS, the VITAS Healthcare app will come up with lots of useful information for patients and families.
Once again, Dr. Shagan, we thank you for your time. Have a happy and prosperous and healthy 2017. And thanks for your time here today on eHealth Radio.
Yeah, appreciate the opportunity to talk. Have a good one.
And you as well. We have been speaking with Dr. Joseph Shagan, MD, Senior Vice President and National Medical Director for VITAS Healthcare, the nation's leading provider of end-of-life care. And for more information and for contact, simply visit VITAS.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the healthcare and health news channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.